Welcome to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah, the podcast where we look at biblical truths to answer the pressing questions we encounter every day surrounding cultural issues. We are your hosts, Sarah Cherney and Judge Phil Ginn. As Thanksgiving approaches, we want to reflect on the outcome of the 2024 election and how we, as Christians, can move forward with hearts full of faith, thanksgiving, and humility. So we have three action steps for you today.
Well, that's right, Sarah. We know the results, and some folks have really been rejoicing while others have been even fearful. But we also know that our trust remains in God, not the government, obviously. And as Christians, I think we should focus on three things. I think we need to always pray more. We need to walk humbly, as Micah 6:8 would say, and we also need to stand for the truth.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's start then, Judge, with the concept of praying more. We know, and the Word tells us, that prayer makes all of the difference. 1 Timothy 2:1 through 2 says that we are called to make to really make supplication and intercession with thanksgiving for all people, and that also includes our leaders. So as we come into alignment with God through prayer, it's essential and needed that we agree. Whether we agree with our leaders or not really is not the case. We are called to pray for those in high positions so that we may actually lead a peaceable and quiet life. And so as we think about praying more, let's pray for the president-elect, Donald Trump. Let's pray for the leaders who are coming into office. I think we should be praying for the people of our nation, especially those who are lost. We also need to pray for a boldness to speak truth in love and with love to those as we use truth and love to unite, and also pray for the lost who are hurting. I think Philippians also tells us, Philippians 4:8-9, that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, these are the things worthy of praise, and for us to think about and pray about those things.
Well, I think you're right, Sarah. And one of the things that we often forget when it comes to our government is that we're in a period now of really inconsistency and unsettling time between now and January the 20th.
Yes.
Because we're almost in a vulnerable time. So I would certainly add to the prayer list that you gave that we pray for the transition and pray for President Biden and Vice President Harris as we go through this process. And as you can already see that there's a little turmoil in the Senate and Congress as we await the final outcome of the election. And as the Democratic Congress tries to push through some things in anticipation of the Republicans taking control of the Senate in January. So there's just lots to pray about in times that are unsettled in our life. But I think as we enter into this Thanksgiving season and into the Christmas season immediately following that, it's time for us to think about deepening our prayer life and to pray for wisdom and discernment and unity. In a nation which is certainly divided, and there's no question about that. You know, I was interested that you read from Philippians 4 there, just prior to what you read. The scripture also says to us in Philippians 4:6-7, don't be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And, you know, James, the brother of Jesus over in the first chapter of his letter, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him.
I think you bring up something that's so important. So in the days ahead, as we look at the turmoil that we know is already starting to churn, but even when you take a look at what's happening across the seas, we take a look at what's taking place, you know, in Ukraine and Russia, even some of the arrests still taking place in Israel. There's a lot of things for us to be anxious about. So we've really given our listening audience an opportunity to consider and to think about how they can actually turn to the Lord in prayer, lay their requests to the Lord, and really, He will deliver the peace that surpasses understanding. But we need to take that seriously. So I guess the challenge for our audience would be to take 5 minutes each day this week as we think about Thanksgiving, prepare for Thanksgiving, and as we enter into a season where we are giving thanks for Christ our Savior. We're giving thanks for the blessings that we've been provided. But to pray for the leaders of our nation, pray for them to have the wisdom and discernment to rule righteously, and pray for the people of our nation. So be really intentional about that, and just taking the time to lift them up. We are told in the Bible that this is good and pleasing in the sight of God and our Savior, who desires for all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So pray for that. Pray for those who don't know the knowledge of the truth, that may be something as a result of time that we spend in praying for them.
Well, you know, in addition to praying, which is very essential, I think, Micah 6:8 talks about leadership and the things that are required of leaders, and it's to love mercy and to do justly. And then the third prong is walking humbly with God, which I think leads us to the point where we need to trust God's plan above everything else that's happening around
yes.
us.
Yes,
He is the solid rock in the storm. Proverbs 3:5-6 instructs us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. That's a hard lesson for me and for some other folks, because I like to lean on my own understanding too often. But I think certainly trusting in the Lord is the key to walking humbly with God. And that certainly means recognizing that God is in control, even when things do not go as we would plan them or as maybe we would hope. While the outcome of the election was maybe what we hoped for, maybe it's not what we hoped for, We have to know that there's going to be a lot of decisions in the next 2 to 4 years that are not going to go the way we want them to go as Christians. Maybe it's not the way we desire them to go. But overall, we know that we can trust in a sovereign God who sees all of this well before it happens. Hmm. And He doesn't have to open up iPhone or whatever to check Fox News to find out what's happened the day before, or predict what may happen in the coming day.
You know, you think about decisions being made. We are not going to like every decision that our leadership makes. That's just the way of the world. That's not going to happen. And so a lot of times we can be wrapped up in our own way of thinking and the things you had just mentioned, you know, letting go, knowing that we are not in control. The Lord is in control. And that really is, I would say, it leads us into, you know, really the third piece of this is avoiding pride and division, because our unity in Christ is what we are called to do as Christians, you know, really coming together and being united. Pride hardens our hearts. It has a tendency to lead us towards legalistic behavior, legalistic thought and judgment, and being judgmental towards others. While unity with our brothers and sisters is centered around loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's what Jesus mandated us, is to love our neighbor as ourselves. So, you know, Jesus also prayed for all believers. He said, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray for these who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." So that's Jesus actually in his high priestly prayer, praying for us to be in unity as he is with his Father.
You know, I sometimes think we overlook the significance of that prayer, because that was a prayer that Jesus prayed right as he was facing the cross, and right almost in the same breath as when he was asking the Father to take the cup away from him. And so he made the decision. I think that's so important to know that probably our history was changed right there in Gethsemane when Jesus made the irrevocable decision to go to the cross. So it's significant to know that in that period of time that Jesus was praying for us. And he continues to do so at the right hand of God the Father. We're told in Hebrews that he's interceding for us. So it's not hard to walk humbly when you think about it from that standpoint, about the greatness of the grace that's been shown to us. And so when we walk humbly, we need to acknowledge that we have a need for God. I think that's a cornerstone. And because God has shown this grace to us, I think we need to focus on showing the same grace that we have received to others, even if they have differing perspectives. Now, that doesn't mean to just go along to get along. That's not what it is. But there is a grace which should be exhibited certainly by Christians. So the challenge for us is to seek reconciliation in our relationships where political or personal disagreements may have caused division. And that is exactly the opposite of the call that we're hearing from culture.
You know, it's interesting because when you take a look at the Word, and the Word is truth, it's important that we learn to stand steadfast in the truth. And that's sort of the last piece we talked about, you know, living boldly for Christ and standing steadfast in the truth. And how do we do that when there is division? We've heard many stories of people with families who are divided because of their political, you know, leanings. And that seems crazy. Yes, it's important, but it's not the most important. You know, truth never changes, Judge. And Jesus reminds us in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so as we take our eyes off what happens in this world, yes, we're called to pray. Yes, we're called to, you know, take pride out of it. It's not about us. It's truly about, you know, pleasing the Lord, but then also standing steadfast in the truth, not waffling or backing down from that. You know, I think that a call for us would be to pray as the disciples prayed, not for God to change the circumstances, but to give boldness in the circumstances. And so I wanted to read a passage from Acts, and this was the story when the disciples came together, and they were being persecuted for the way that they believed as, you know, new Christians. But they prayed to God, and they said, "And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." So when they had prayed, they placed the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. So they didn't pray for the circumstances to change. What they prayed for was a boldness to speak the truth into lives and do it in a convictional way and not back down from the truth, but certainly do it with love.
You know, when we're in a storm, Sarah, we really need to find some firmness of ground on which to stand. And so regardless of who's in power, it's incumbent upon us as Christians, I think, to stand firm in the truth of God's word. That's what we're called to do. So here's some practical ways to stand for truth that are really scriptural in a lot of ways. First, we're called upon to speak the truth in love. That comes from Ephesians 4:15. And that is the basic definition of apologetics. It's one of those things that we live by here at SES. We're called to get involved where you can to make a difference, whether it's locally, in your church, or through advocacy for biblical values. I believe it was Edmund Burke who one time said that one of the greatest problems in the world is someone who does nothing because they can do so little. Mm. So we're called upon to do what we can do, where we can do it, certainly. And here's one other kind of self-serving thing. I would urge our listeners to get involved with Truth That Matters and our new innovative training center, which is going to be about the business of making disciple makers. Mm-hmm. And so here's a way that even you or me or anyone, even if they're bashful, they interact with somebody somewhere. And so we can be about the business of making disciples. And I think that's going to be one of the keys going forward for us here, training people to do that.
So we know Judge, that standing for truth doesn't mean being combative. That's not the point. We don't want to be combative. We want to be bold, but we don't want to be combative. And it really means living out the gospel with courage and compassion towards others. You know, I think of helping the least of these. Jesus told us if you give a cup of cold water, you know, to the least of these, or you help another, especially widows and orphans, which are usually the poorest of the poor or the most in need, you know, we're serving Jesus. And so, it means sharing what we know. And we also know that truth, it can cause challenges for people. We know that sometimes it can kind of hit you. I always say it hits you with a 2x4 when you read scripture. You think, oh, that's me. And, you know, it's convicting. But it's also something that helps us to change. And this is also, truth helps us, though, in the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit, also helps us to have discernment when we're speaking to someone so that we can really read the room, if you will. And so, but there's some things that we can all do. And I struggle with this because I have a really aggressive tone. It's just how God wired me, but to speak with gentleness, you know, to exhibit self-control, to exhibit humility, and just simple kindness. You know, so many people in this day and age, they're not even kind. You know, let somebody drive in front of you if you're on the highway. You know, be kind. Ask the waiter.
You quit preaching and going to meddling.
I know, yeah. Ask your waiter or waitress as you're out in this holiday season their name. Ask them if there's something that you could pray, and then just immediately drop a prayer right there. Just let them know that the Lord is real and alive for them. So Jesus is our example, and he didn't waffle in the truth, but he was compassionate in his approach. And so we need to be the same and have patience with people because we have no idea what's happening in that person's life. So the challenge here would be to find that one tangible way this week, especially in the week of Thanksgiving. The holidays are starting. You know, Black Friday is a really good day if you decide to go shopping for you to test, are you truly a Christian? And pretend somebody's videotaping what you say and what you do, because find that one moment where you can actually serve one another, share the gospel, lend a helping hand, support something or someone other than yourself as you really try to look for an opportunity in your interactions with friends, with family, and even with those you don't know to make a difference and be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Well, to add to what you're saying, my friend and mentor, Dr. Geisler, used to say the object is to win the person, not necessarily just to win the argument.
Amen. Amen.
And I think we lose sight of that sometimes as Christians. So, you know, as we come into this season and celebrate Thanksgiving, and many people are already thinking about celebrating Christmas. I see Christmas lights up and all of that as I go around. I think we need to remember that we're called to be a people of these three things: prayer, humility, and truth. And by doing these three things, I think we not only honor God, but we also shine His light. And it is His light, not ours, in a world that's certainly desperate for hope. So before we close, let's talk about, Sarah, I think we would be remiss if we did not talk about the ultimate source of our hope and thanksgiving. So no matter what's happening in the world or even in our daily lives, we have a reason to rejoice because of the good news of Jesus Christ.
Well, and I guess this would be an opportunity to share, you know, who is Jesus? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was perfectly God and, you know, 100% God, 100% man. And he came to this earth. God wanted, had him come to this earth, you know, born in a manger, born of a virgin, to live a perfect life and become the perfect sacrifice, the propitiation, as the Bible calls it, for our sin, which is basically he was the sacrificial lamb. This is why we call him the Lamb of God. He is the one who went to the cross, who died for our sin. No matter what we do, when we truly repent of our sin, we call upon Jesus and we dedicate and surrender our life to Jesus as Lord and King, we become adopted as part of his family, and then we become baptized. We go in baptism. Baptism is the death to the old self and come alive with the new self. And so our hope would be that people would investigate this and would understand this is what the beauty of Christmas is all about, is that Jesus Christ, the perfect gift, the sacrificial lamb, was delivered to this world to be the sacrifice for our sins, the sins of the entire world, and for those who believe in him as Lord and Savior and King.
And I think that's so true, Sarah. And I want to encourage those folks who may be listening to us to, if they have additional thoughts about this, certainly add them into the comments section below. But I don't think there's any better time than now to say, let's pray.
Amen.
So, Father, we just want to stop and thank you for, first of all, your sovereignty. You are God. We're not. Help us to recognize that. Help us to understand and remember the awesomeness of God, the greatness of God that's so much far beyond what we could ever imagine or desire or hope. And we also want to thank you for your provision for us, so undeserved, yet so graciously given in abundance to us. So we also want to pray now for what we've talked about today, for each and every person, for ourselves, for our family, for wisdom, not just earthly wisdom, but godly wisdom, for supernatural strength, for the courage to walk humbly, and Father, for the opportunity to stand for truth and the courage to do so. We ask for peace that only can come from you. We ask for the unity of belief for our nation as we move toward the coming inauguration and beyond. We do not deserve it as a nation because we have failed in so many ways, you, but we know that you still have a remnant, and we ask that you use that remnant to bring more and more people to a saving knowledge of you. Thank you for listening. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our soon-coming King and our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
So to our listeners, thank you for joining with us today. Have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy it with your family. May it be filled with God's peace, His love, and His hope.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah. As always, stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay steadfast in the truth.